Hello and welcome to Series 10 of The Future of Drug Discovery. In this episode, Murat speaks with Zvika Hartman, Senior Vice President of Computation at Biologic Design, a company curating AI-designed antibodies focused on autoimmune diseases and immuno-oncology applications. Biologic uses machine learning to design smart antibodies with more precise molecular effects. These antibodies work dynamically with their environment, both temporally and spatially, facilitating new ways to alter biology. We're launching this exciting opportunity to learn about the technology and strategies at Biologic Design directly from Zvika, as well as exploring his fascinating and eventful career.
Hi, everyone. My name is Murat. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Antiverse. Today, joining me is Zvika Hartman, SVP of Computation from Biologic Design. We are very happy to have you here, Zvika. Welcome.
Thank you very much for the kind invitation. I'm really excited to be here.
I'll just dive in. Most of the people who are on this call already know quite a lot about you, but would you mind mentioning us the defining moments in your life that brought you to this role at Biologic Design?
Yes, sure. We'll be happy to. So my background is actually started in mathematics and computer science. In my graduate student in the Weizmann Institute on theoretical computer science. In my PhD, I also did some work on algorithms in molecular biology and DNA arrays. Back then, genomic arrangement, but more on the algorithmic side. And after 2 years of postdoc, I joined the early days of the Google office in Tel Aviv, started working on the search engine, quality, nothing related to biology. Then also some other various projects as a researcher and a software engineer in Google Trends and infrastructure and so on. At some point after 7 years, something like that, I wanted to do something which I felt is more meaningful. So I basically initiated some project around health, got some pitched to the executives and got actually the opportunity to build a team, which eventually grew up into the Google Health team in Tel Aviv. I managed this group. We did some machine learning to help physicians get good diagnoses and decisions and so on. And after a few years, I actually left Google. I thought that maybe a better opportunity would be to contribute to the biological world with my computational experience and expertise. And I joined Biologic Design. I'm 2.5 years at Biologic. I'm leading the computational department. And yeah, so that's what got me here. Very excited in my work.
Definitely so. It's such an exciting moment for companies like ours working in the intersection of biology, AI, drug discovery. Especially on the biologic side, there wasn't too many players, but you know, Biologic Design is one of the earliest ones out there. What excites you at work? You know, what's the most interesting projects you guys are working on now?
So at Biologic Design, we actually try to make what we call smart antibodies. So antibodies therapeutics are around for some dozens of years. But most of the antibodies are basically act as the small molecules, but as an antibody. They antagonize, they agonize. They don't actually exploit the potential of proteins, which are basically nanorobots that can do very special things, respond to the environment, do some basically sophisticated tasks in our body. So what we do is using AI to program the antibodies to do things that we want them to do, which are quite sophisticated. We have two main directions. One is epitope specific, which by the AI, we can design antibodies that will bind to a specific epitope in some antigen. Actually, there is now in phase one in the clinic, we have our first antibody that is epitope specific. It's called AW07, and the results of the clinical trials are quite promising. This is one direction, as I said. The other direction is what we call a multibody. This is an antibody that can bind in the same arm two different antigens, which it's a very powerful mechanism. What we're doing is using AI both in designing the libraries that will optimize the probability that we will get good candidates. And also at the end of, after screening the libraries, we have a pipeline that gets the results from the lab, the NGS, all the measurement that we've done. And we basically train models based on these data sets. And by these models, we can predict in silico essential properties of the antibodies like affinities. We can predict, we can build a model for predicting affinity of the first antigen in multibody, for example, predict affinity for the second antigen, predict developability properties, stability, etc. And this, all these computational tools and the lab expertise allows us to develop antibodies which can do the what we call nanorobots, which can do different things than regular antibodies.
Yes, that's great. When you mentioned about this multi-specificity in a single arm, that's such a, I think, novel concept. Maybe I heard it once before in another company. I think a lot of people right now, when they do the bispecifics, they design two arms that binds to two different antigens. But you are basically saying that one arm binding to two different antigens and having a symmetric antibody, right?
Yes.
So what would you say the advantage of your approach over bispecifics?
So first, one of the advantages is that in the half-life and developability aspects of the antibody, because this basically is a natural antibody. A bispecific is not a natural antibody, it's an engineered antibody. And therefore, some properties may be less favorable for antibodies. What we are doing is a totally human antibodies with a few mutations, but everything, all the infrastructure, I'm using a computer science, of the antibody is the same, so the risk is much less in the function of the antibody. This is one thing. Another thing is that it can allow us to do some smart things that you cannot do with bispecific. I'm not sure I can describe exactly, but these properties, but the fact that the same R can bind different thing, you can look at it as kind of a some AND gate or OR gate in terms of Boolean computations, which allows us to do some special computations and act differently in different tissues and different microenvironments. For example, on the concentration of one antigen, you can do some other things with the second antigen. So this concept of multibody opens a whole suite of possibilities that you can basically program the antibody to do some things that cannot be done by other strategies, by other technologies.
Yes, that AND or type of logic is also almost embedded in the name of your company as well. And I know that it was a concept that a lot of CAR T companies struggled with. So, you know, to activate killing only in the presence of two antigens, especially, you know, for lots of oncology and so on. That's great, very helpful. So what you described already, very, very exciting platform technology that might apply in so many different areas. When you think about the future projects that you might be undertaking, can you tell us a little bit more? What would be the new type of therapeutics or the new type of targets that you could go after with what you are building?
Yes. So I think that, as I said, the technology that we have opens a whole world of possibilities. I can give maybe one example, maybe even two examples. I'll start with one of the things that we developed. So this is basically an antibody that is for autoimmune diseases. It's a multibody that can bind both IL-13 and the TSLP, which are both targets, validated targets for autoimmune diseases, such as atopic dermatitis. There is antibodies for each of the targets separately, but data out there suggests that there is limited effect of each of these targets because, for example, if there is a patient or a tissue where there is a drug against TSLP, But in a macro environment where there's not much TSLP, there are other cytokines, then this drug won't be effective, and vice versa. In a macro environment where there is IL-13, but not enough IL-13, the other drug won't work. And the fact that we have, like, it's two in one. We have one antibody that can chase these two cytokines, these two targets, is kind of like, in a very metaphoric way, it's kind of precision medicine. Like, one size fits all. You can give it to a patient and it will find both the IL-13 and the TSLP. Another concept is what we call super engagers. There is the T-cell engagers, which there are some drugs for this. But here, in each arm of the bispecific super engager, we put a multibody. So now, if there is some TAA that is targeted by some engager, then it will target only tissues where this TAA is present. But if we have and target two different TAAs, the probability of success, basically the percent of cases in which this will work, is much higher, because we have, again, a one size fits all. So this concept can be used in very creative ways. So this is some examples about things that can be done down the road.
Yeah, I can definitely see the value of what you're building in those particular scenarios. I have a few more questions, but I'm also checking the Q&A channel. So there is one, if you don't mind. This is about the data you guys are working on. Is it mostly public, or is it the data that you generated in-house?
So both. We are basically pre-training our models on public data, proteins, antibodies, etc. But the game changer is the data that we are generating in-house, because what we generate in-house is data for the affinity or other properties of the specific antigens that we're looking for. So the short answer is that we use both. We build on pre-trained models and data on public data, but the game changer is by using our data, proprietary data that we generate in our lab.
Okay, thank you. So another one, let me rephrase this question. They are asking about the agonism. So I know that, you know, a lot of companies are going after binding, some of them are antagonism, and agonism seems like an area that is avoiding a lot of people and quite desired by many. Do you have any examples of designing agonistic antibodies against, you know, membrane proteins, for example?
So we have an example that our antibody that is in the clinic is designed for IL-2. Basically, IL-2 is used as a drug for cancer, for example. But it's a double-edged sword, because it can help the immune system and activate it. But in some cases, it can also decrease the immune system. So this is also can be very toxic. What we developed is an epitope-specific antibody that binds the IL-2 in such a way that it will prevent it to decrease the immune system, and only will increase the immune system. So this is an example of a way that we basically activate the molecule, not prevent it to work, but activate it. And I want also to maybe this is also an opportunity to mention is that the biology of this is validated and well known for many, many years, but till now no one knew how to develop the ammunition to tackle this. So this is an example of validated biology that is well known, that our technology allowed us to engineer the specific solution for this problem.
Amazing. So I will move on to another question. When you think about the future of drug discovery, I'm sure you have faced your fair share of the skeptics when it comes to the application of AI. And rightfully so, I would say, given the previous experience people had. Do you think that this time is different, combined with AI, when you look 3 years, 5 years into the future? How do you see the landscape changing?
I think there's a lot of potential here, which is not yet unleashed. First of all, we can see the incredible advances in AI, in NLP, and you know, ChatGPT, all these buzzwords that really do amazing things in natural language that no one, I don't know, maybe not no one, but I think not a lot of people had predicted that it will happen so fast and so good. And I think that these incredible progress can also be in the biologic language. Of course, this is much more complicated. I think we don't have the same intuition that we have into natural languages because, you know, it's a language that the protein language, the DNA language is of course something that we as humans have less intuition into it, but the data is there. And I think that the combination of the computational progress and the biologic expertise will be the game changer. And I think that the secret sauce here is how can we integrate between these two disciplines. I think this is something that, you know, everybody talks about it, but I think it's really hard. I mean, it's really hard to get people that, you know, are experts in one of the disciplines, for example, people that came from the computational world and did very deep and have deep understanding in it. And on the other side, you know, people that have a lot of experiences and expertise in biology and experiments, putting these two experts to the table and have really a deep, meaningful, fruitful discussion is something that is not trivial at all. But I think this is the key for success for this area. I think this is the main barrier now.
Yeah, proficient. I always like to say we need people who are likewise, you know, proficient in Python and pipetting, same level. And there are only a few of them, only a few unicorns, people say. But obviously, there's a huge talent gap there. A lot of people see it. I think it will be filled either by companies, cross-training people, or new university programs. Maybe pharma having their own programs to 6 months, 12 months train people before they, you know, start their actual work. So there are a few options there. Talent aside, what would you be looking for from the audience?
So I'll talk first about some general things, I think, for the industry. So I think more public data will help everyone. Probably there is a lot of data, especially in big pharma, of different sequences, variants, with valuable data of affinity, developability, stability, and so on. So sharing more data, I think, will be in the benefit of everybody. This is one thing. Another challenge, which, you know, it's something that we talked about also now, is how can we get people from the tech industry to go into the biotech industry? There's obviously a lot of talent out there, and I think that, unfortunately, most of the talent is directed toward different, you know, high-tech things, you know, internet, cyber, you name it. And not enough to the biotech, so we should think about, you know, how can we attract more talent to this such an important discipline. And also, you talked about it before, how can we train people to be experts in both disciplines, which again is something that we should think about as a community. Speaking specifically about biologic design, our main business is developing our own assets, a pipeline of drugs that we are bringing into the clinic. But we have also another aspect of collaboration with big pharma. We have several collaborations with Novartis, Eli Lilly, and some other companies, AstraZeneca. And we are basically looking also for opportunities where we can collaborate with big pharma in projects in which our AI and other innovative technology can give an added value.
And on that collaboration point, would you say that it will be the pharma coming with their own targets and then applying your platform and technology to come up with smart bodies against that?
Yeah, this is one possibility. The other possibilities is that we have discussions and, you know, back and forth about the needs of the big pharma and which of the technology that we can use can help them. And this is kind of a dialogue between big pharma and us to find the exact target and drug which can we can have the added value, and it aligns with the business considerations of the pharma company.
Thank you. There's one question. On a very high level, when you are describing biologic design, do you guys think yourselves as a tech company, a biotech company, now the new term tech bio company?
Yeah, so I think it's more like, I don't know the term tech bio, but what is tech bio?
I believe it's the application of a technology as a platform to a topic of biology, but tech being first or having more emphasis than bio.
Yeah. So I think, we're not a platform because we have our assets and we develop them. But I think that it's more accurate to describe us as a tech company rather than a bio company, because we are taking validated biological targets to the added value that brings the technology. So we take the risk in the area where we are experts. You know, the risk is in the technology, which we feel like we are the experts, so we're willing to take the risk.
Thank you. On behalf of everyone and our audience, we would like to thank you, Zvika, for joining us and having a great conversation. And on that note, we will slowly move on to the breakout room. And people, if you haven't used AirMeet before, there will be a couple of virtual tables. There will be some representatives of biologic design at different tables. You can just go and, you know, sit on those tables and have a conversation for another 60 to 90 minutes. Thank you all. Thank you, Tezvika.
Thank you very much, Murat. It was a pleasure.
Likewise. Take care now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Future of Drug Discovery, brought to you by Murat, co-founder and CEO at Antiverse, and the production team here at Antiverse. We value your support immensely, and to help us continue growing this vibrant community, we kindly ask you to like, rate, and review the podcast. Your feedback fuels our mission for a better connected community. This episode is a recording of our monthly live events. After each event, we host a private 90-minute networking session where the most fruitful conversations are had. It's the perfect opportunity to meet other members of the community and to connect with industry experts in the field. To be notified about our future events, you can follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter, or opt in for email updates using the form in the episode show notes. We hope to see you at our next event. Until next time.